Good afternoon. Today is Monday, July the 14th, 196th day of the new year. Joining us this very afternoon, the bank dude from Redwood Capital Bank, John Dolby.
Hey, guy.
Brian, it is always
a pleasure to
be
with
you.
Yeah. You think I still buy that line?
Did you ever?
No, I hope not.
This afternoon, we're talking a little bit about QE funds. It was talked about in the news this morning. Bernanke talked about it last week. The stock market is reacting to it because it thinks it's still going to be there.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of mainstreaming a little bit. So we'll get a little refresher course on that. And also some of the retail numbers came out late last week that indicated that other than cars and the price of gasoline going up, we didn't do too well. So we'll talk about some of those figures also and what they may mean to us here on the North Coast and in our region when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with John Dolby. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from the coach, Lou Holtz. Quote, if you don't make a total commitment to whatever you're doing, then you start looking to bail out the first time the boat starts leaking. It's tough enough to get that boat to shore with everybody rowing, let alone when a guy stands up and starts putting his life jacket on. Yeah.
Is that why everybody's turning their radios off right now?
Because the boat's leaking?
Yeah, or that we're on the air?
Yeah, well, that could be too. But, you know, then that would be a daily occurrence if it was me.
So it must be me.
That's where I'm going with it.
I have big shoulders. I'll take it.
Okay, what a guy. What a pal. Quantitative easing, or QE. Sounds right. Like a simple concept. Sounds like it would be not a permanent situation. And yet, when there was some question last month whether or not the Feds were going to continue along that path, things got a little squirrely with the stock market. Was it 400 or 500 points in a week down?
Yeah.
Something like that. Last Friday, there was a little indication with the retail sales numbers not being there. Comment made from the Fed chair that they weren't going to be backing off in the, at least for another quarter or two, stocks rise a little bit. Are things that tenuous, John, where we have to look to the government and whether or not they're going to continue to subsidize in order to keep things semi-static?
The answer to your question is, yes, they are that tenuous because not only the Fed has virtually done everything they can and more. They brought rates down to I'm trying to remember all these terms because I didn't know we were going to talk on this topic, but there used to be the 0 point for rates was at 1%. That once they brought them down to the discount rate to 1%, that's as far as you could go. They have obliterated that and taken it to virtually zero. So it's 0 to 25 is the target. So they mashed on the accelerator as hard as they could with the economy, and it's been that way for a long time. Normally that's something you do for just a little while, and as soon as the economy picks up, you back off. They have had their foot on the accelerator the whole time.
Because they couldn't back off, or because it was perceived that the timing might not be wise to back off?
The recovery is not significant enough for them to back off. Normally, what you want to do is you want to have you want to get the rates up to where you have the ability to hit the accelerator again. But if your foot's on the floor, there's nothing left. So what they did is they came up with quantitative easing, which quantitative easing is a fancy word for printing money.
A second accelerator? Yeah,
exactly. And so what they're doing is they're putting more money into the system, which should have an inflationary effect on it. But most of that money is not getting out of the bank reserves.
So it's increasing the reservoirs that the Fed has, that you have access to, but it's not doing anything?
For the most part, most of it's not in the system. It's in excess reserves in the banks. And that's why you're not having inflation. But what you do have is you're now getting some different bubbles than we had before. If you recall, this all started with the real estate bubble, residential real estate bubble. Now we've got bubbles in ag land. And that's one of the things that a lot of banks, especially in the Midwest, are very concerned about. Ag lands have skyrocketed in prices, and they see that as a bubble bursting.
An artificial
absolutely
increase.
The other thing is ag prices are artificially inflated.
Futures? Commodities?
Commodities. And the third one is the stock market. And so those are the three bubbles that they're very concerned about when they let off on quantitative easing, that those things could collapse. So they need to do it in a measured fashion. And that's what you saw when the Fed chair gave some indication that we may see the end of quantitative easing. What happened to the market? They're all, now's the time. Let's get out. And so they've got to be very careful about how they take relax the quantitative easing.
To do it, yes or no, or how to do it when it needs to occur?
Well, what they did, the Fed's been a little bit schizophrenic. They first came out and they did something they've never done before. They said, we are going to keep rates at zero until a date. And they had the Philadelphia Fed director had some serious issues with that. And we can talk about that when we get back from the next break.
Well, you want to do a time check and then we'll just go to the break?
Well, you were throwing fingers
apparently
at me,
not.
So.
KINS, News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from the Bank Dude.
Sunshine for Humboldt. Recently, the Eureka Heritage Society named Bill Hole its Preservationist of the Year. For 17 years, he's led the renowned Historic Preservation and Restoration Technology Program at College of the Redwoods. Now, however, he's been told the college may not be able to afford to offer his classes next school year. While the program has a shortfall based solely on enrollment, Mr. Hole says that's not the full story. It's brought in more money than it costs to run, over $1 million from donated supplies, equipment and training sites, state grants and training agreements. He adds, the type of training we do, integrating construction, rebuilding, and revitalizing neighborhoods, is significant to Humboldt County. The intensive hands-on training prepares his students to fill the demand for specialists to work on restorations locally and throughout the country. See, our administrators should take off their green eye shades and see the big picture. This program is a valuable asset to our economy and culture. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with John Dalby. John, before the break there that you didn't segue into quite as cleanly as you could, we will look for improvement in that area, sir. We were talking about some of the concerns that are out there about QE2 and some of these I don't know, bubble really artificially high prices might be a bubble. To me, a bubble implies Silicon Valley. It goes and a huge, massive collapse rather than something that might be a 5 or 10% overvalue, but it's not going to collapse the industry. So when you said the ag industry, land, ag industry, commodities, both with an artificial bubble, are you thinking of a big Mr. Bubble bubble? Or just a small little bubble that just needs some
adjusting. Yeah, the bubble that the economists that I've talked to or listened to, I should say, they don't really.
Well, that's
to me. They don't listen to me.
Don't burst our bubble, baby.
Right. They're talking about a bubble of as much as 30%.
So what's driving that?
It's a big bubble. Well,
it's a biggie.
Yes, it's being driven by QE 1, 2, and now QE 3. So when we were talking before the break about the Fed's first approach, which was very different to the QE3, is saying, okay, on this date we're going to start raising rates and we're going to end QE3. And the Fed chair in Philadelphia, I believe it was Lacker, I believe is his last name, kind of threw fits, voted against it. And finally, they listened to him. And his point was, you can't say a given date. You have to do it, as the Fed has done in the past, based on when we see X improvement. So they have defined what their targets are, that when the economy hits certain specific targets, that they will start raising rates and relaxing QE3.
So conditions get met.
Correct.
And change.
Including its inflation needs to be at 2% or less. They have a range for unemployment. I want to say it's 5.5 to 6.5, but I may.
Now, when they say unemployment, are they saying employment? Or
well,
not tracked unemployed,
semi-job,
the funny stuff.
They're using the standard measurement for that, but they also recognize that the standard measurement, it no longer is an accurate measurement, so I'm sure they're going to be adjusting those numbers to some degree. And so they're going to be looking at various metrics and saying, okay, when these things are met, these are our targets. When they're met, then we can start, you know, raising rates and reducing or eliminating QE3.
So looking at the ag sector specifically, not only is it a whole region, which is scary in and of itself, but most of us eat things rather than growing our own. Most of us are consuming from other areas, so we've got transportation costs associated with that. What does that bubble look like when it's flat?
Well, luckily the lenders have learned their lesson. There, and in ag lending, you don't have some of the same mechanisms that you did in the residential real estate with, you know, payment option loans, the various very risky designs of loans in which people don't have to make, you know, full payments for 5 years or even any payments for 5 years. Ag is much more conservative in their lending. In fact, most lenders currently are requiring at least 50% down. Ag land, yes. So, because that's who's going to take the hit is going to be the lenders when it all happens. So what you're not going to see if the bubble collapses is you're not going to see lands taken out of production, you know, and so we're still going to see food being produced and so forth.
But at what price does it end up at the consumer's table?
Well, that's where you might see some change in, you know, some people losing money because they have to exchange it because they can't afford. If ag prices for commodities drops, then you may not be able to produce enough to make the payments. I'm not an ag expert.
No,
but
there's a real tight correlation
right there. But what I don't see happening is a food shortage as a result of it.
You may have to switch to parsnips instead of pretzel or parsley or something. Because there was something that was going on. Argentina, I guess, has had a huge tomato shortage. The government is asking people not to eat tomatoes for 10 weeks. Riots. Because so much of the cuisine and the culture is based on tomatoes, you know, in Argentina.
Never been there, so I don't know.
Well,
but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. Hearsay. Something like that in America, you know, if we say, okay, stop eating beef for 10 weeks. Huh.
That would be problematic for me, but
it would
yeah.
It would be a challenge, though, to lose. Or let's say we see milk prices. Was it now $4 for a half gallon, bumped up from whatever it was, three? Let's say it goes up to $6. Whoops. Yeah, it's still available, but who's going to be buying it at $6?
Well, if the bubble pops, those prices will come down, not up.
Initially. But then if there's no milk production going on because all those guys have their equipment in lean or foreclosure.
So I don't think that's going to happen. I think the system knows how to handle this bubble, you know, based on the experience we had in the first one.
Wouldn't be mistakes. KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
You want hot buys on furniture and appliances? You've got them during Burns Furniture's July Hot Buys Savings Event. Choose your new 7-piece living room group starting at just $899.95. In Burns Sleep Center, the new Serta Eye Comfort mattresses are the latest innovation. Or select your Englander mattress set in twin to king sizes. All with free local delivery and easy financing options. Hot buys on furniture and appliances during July at Burns Furniture, 5th and G Streets in downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with John Dalby. John, as retail numbers come out, you mentioned in the preceding break about unemployment numbers. Different definition today than perhaps what they were years gone by, and perhaps different than what the functional definition is that most of us would have. Now let's get into retail numbers. Do you have more faith in those numbers that are reported through the government?
I don't have any reason not to. But to be honest, I haven't really looked into that question. I mean, the unemployment numbers are so skewed because, you know, if you're part-time employed, you're considered the same as a full-time employment, so the underemployed are not scored. If you stop looking, you're not counted anymore, et cetera, et cetera. We know all the problems with the unemployment numbers and why this recession has really turned out. But as far as the retail, I think those are pretty solid numbers.
Okay, so if you have faith in the numbers, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't, mm-hmm. I'm suggesting that. We had the numbers come out today, reported. Automotive, new sales, up. Price of gasoline, up. Both of those more than drove. Okay. Drove the numbers for retail sales up. You pull those two out, and it was anemic at best. May not have even held what it was last quarter. When one sector or two related sectors are that tight and they're the only things that are really humming along or showing positive or showing growth, regardless of what the sectors are, does that give you concern?
Well, you have one, retail sales and cars is a positive thing. Same thing as we're seeing here locally. We're seeing more home sales. We're seeing more purchase money transactions from the bank's perspective. But that means there's more purchases taking place. Those are all positive signs. Gasoline going up, negative sign, because you're going to have to purchase gasoline one way or another. It's just a matter of how much money you have left over to buy the other things. So there's probably a pretty good inverse relationship between, you know, the sales, the retail sales you're talking about, the anemic growth in those, and the fact that people are spending more money on gasoline.
Washing each other out?
I don't know the exact numbers, but yes, there's going to be an inverse relationship to those two items.
We've talked in the past locally in our region, housing is a huge mover because, you know, having houses in waiting growing in our woods. If just the housing sector was taking off and others were falling back, would that change things for us here? Or are we so small that it isn't going to move the needle too much for us because we don't have that many mills and that many employed in that one industry as we used to.
We're not going to see the impact we would have 10 or 15 years ago by a housing boom, because exactly what you said is we don't participate to the same degree as we did when we had a bunch of mills here and we were producing a great deal of lumber. With that said, the increase in construction, new housing here, and increased sale prices, meaning that we see equity starting to grow again in real estate. We're not going to see them grow like they did in the past, but at least they're not going backwards. Those are all really positives for us in comparison to where we've been in the past 5 years. So I'm feeling a little bit of a tailwind for the first time in about 5 years in our local economy.
With the number of grow houses that there are, or I guess the polite way to say it is out of market ownership of residential homes, those foreclosures happening, those take backs happening, that inventory being dumped into the local market, the fact that those are some of those homes, is that a positive thing? As we haven't talked about first time home buyers in so long because there really was no market for them. Is that program, are others like it, going to start to get some traction as these other properties come back onto the market and as some of these younger folks start to feel confident enough, either in our area or in their employment base, to go out and to purchase some of these?
The first place that we saw an increase in purchase money transactions was in the first-time home buyer arena. So we are seeing more people go from renting to purchasing. Again, they're not big numbers, but at least they're positive numbers.
Unit sale numbers or total dollar numbers?
Both. And I'm talking about percentage of increase. We're seeing a small percentage of increase. This is not like a landslide, but we're also seeing some houses that are desirable being bid up and actually selling for greater than asking price because of the desirability of the home. Those are things we haven't seen in a long, long time. So, you know, that when I say a tailwind, it's not a big win, but at least it's not blowing in her face right now.
A little ruffle on the sail, yeah.
Right. We're seeing some construction, not a lot, but we're seeing some, which we haven't seen in a long time. We're not seeing new lots come on market simply because there's still such a big inventory of available building sites that, and I'm talking countywide. You know, that we're not seeing a lot of new subdivisions coming in. People are still trying to sell the old ones.
What about apartments and apartment construction? Is that something that is ever tracked locally? Not duplexes, but larger number units.
The multifamily residential dwellings have seen a big uptick as far as the numbers over the last 5 years as more and more people were moving from home, living in homes to living in apartments. But I've also, last year, if it's any indicator, there were some of the apartments, even in Arcata, that after the beginning of the school year did not fill. So that tells me that we've probably got close to our saturation point. And I don't know, I can't tell you that it's a decline in the number of people renting, but it certainly tells me that we may have enough units to service the needs.
Or perhaps some of the newer ones are getting filled, and those that haven't had any TLC given to them lately are the ones that are wanting, that they need to spruce
up. I don't know that to be the case, but...
That would seem to be a logical...
Yeah.
A semi-logical thought, yes.
Originating from you?
Yeah, don't want
wow.
to don't want to
this could be a first.
Out of the boat here all at once.
Yes, and you were there when?
Yes.
Brian was logical.
KINS, stop laughing. KINS News and Information Times 3:44. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the bank dude, John Dalby. John, retail sales are neat, wonderful. They're national. They give us a little bit of insight. What about in our neighborhood? Do you look at retail sales numbers so much? Yeah, not to leap immediately into the non-reported income in our area. But so much of the retail sales in our area, I would think, are represented in a small percentage of the total dollars going on, whether it's manufacturing or whether it's just things that aren't reported, sales or service sector, things of that nature. Are retail numbers as critical here as what they are in other areas? Is it still cars?
Well, of course, cars are a big, big piece of it just because it's such a big ticket item. I mean, you buy one car, that's more than you'll probably spend on all the other retail sales you have for the whole year.
Yeah,
so,
you gave it the office. Yeah.
So it really is. Those are big, big numbers because of the price of automobiles today. And some, you know, sometimes I look at them and I scratch my head and I go, I think I'm going to keep my old one for a little longer.
Tires look cheap.
Exactly. So, but retail sales is an important number for us. I weigh heavily on the use of Humboldt State's economic department's indices. And that's a great website to go and look at.
So as you're looking at that kind of stuff and to get a general sense, are we an island within the state? Or are we suffering from some of the things that the state of California also suffers from?
Both. We are insulated to some degree from the rest of the state, although the degree of insulation is declined as we've seen a shift in our economic base. And so we do follow the state of California to some degree, but it's not a one-to-one ratio.
Well, let me ask you the 30-second question then. Okay.
Yeah.
We heard unemployment here was at 7.7%, lowest in a long time. I still contend we don't have as large of an employment base as we used to. So when you hear the unemployment figures for Humboldt County, does it carry any weight for you?
Very little, being that you have more underemployed. We have had a shift to hospitality jobs and away from lumber and production jobs. So there's fewer and fewer living wage positions in Humboldt County.
Thanks for coming by.
Always good to see you, Brian.
Thanks. We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with John Dalby. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Have someone living in us. See you tomorrow.